Hello, America. Lots to talk about here. Some of the coolest things that Google debuted in their big event this week, showing what Google's future is, what our future is. It's starting to become amazing with AI.
Nice.
Apple has their new $5 billion campus, has a 100,000 square foot gym.
Have you seen that building?
Do you know what's not in it? Daycare. They have everything. No daycare. People are doing something new. They're marrying themselves. It's called soligamy, which I love. There are four petitions out urging ABC to keep The Last Man Standing. We'll give you an update on that. Also, vulnerable high school girls in Japan. The culture of dates with older men. What's happening in Japan is freaky. We begin there right now. I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Because we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Because we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Let's start with this. This is the weirdest stories, but one of the weirdest stories ever. Vulnerable high school girls in Japan. .com, I think, is that's a website of yours, isn't it? Listen to this. High school dating, no big deal in parts of the world, but in Japan it means something quite different. Here, high school dating matches girls in uniforms with men in their 40s and 50s and beyond. Ooh. Sometimes it involves a walk around the block or a drink at a bar. More often, it involves sex, child prostitution by another name. It's easy to talk to these girls, says one man in his 30s who is sitting at a wooden school desk at the AKB High School Cafe. 17-year-old girl in a school uniform brought the man and his colleague, both of whom declined to give their names, beers and chit-chat. We find regular bars uninteresting these days. I get tired of the regular bars with old women. These girls look so cute. The uniforms make them look 1.5 times cuter than they actually are. 1.5 times
cuter? Yeah, there's been a scientific study on that.
Yeah. Really? 1.5 times cuter?
It's actually 1.4, but you're just rounding up.
We rounded up.
So here's the problem. Boys in Japan, the girls are they're not interested in girls. No matter what is happening, no matter what the girls do, the boys are not interested in dating the girls. Japan and Japanese, it's over. It's over. They can't get people to have sex with each other, and the boys are finding it repulsive. What is happening? What? I swear to you. I mean, maybe it was the bomb. Maybe we didn't create Godzilla. Maybe what happened? This culture went from such a great culture. I was talking to somebody who spends a lot of time in Japan yesterday about this, and he said, "The deal is they were such a tight culture." Still today, if you go over and you're from another place and you're not Japanese, you're at the lowest rung of the ladder. So it's still such a very tight culture that just almost kind of inbred itself. What is happening? Any ideas? I mean, I don't know how you get a 14-year-old boy not to look at a cute girl.
So if I were to immigrate to Japan, could I become a Japanese
No,
citizen?
You could not, and we should stop talking. No, you should stop talking right now.
It is a very strange cultural thing. I mean, I guess when you talk about, you look at the explosion there, for example, of competitive gaming. I mean, they have tournaments there where 20,000 people go to watch people play video games. Yeah. I mean, it is.
And they have robots. They have sexual robots. So it's not like they're not feeling the urge. They just would rather make it with a robot.
Well, and when you spend 50 years telling people that we're overpopulated. We need to slow way down, that the Earth can't sustain it, that this, that we're going to cause extinction of the human race because there's too many human beings. And you beat that into people's heads for 50 years. It was really effective in Europe and Asia. It was not as effective here in the United States.
It's still pretty effective.
But it was fairly effective. We're barely at the replacement rate right now. They're way below it. And so
they'll
over
be gone.
Time,
Japan
they just,
will be...
They've changed.
Our children's children will not know a Japanese person.
Yeah.
I don't tend to believe
I don't know about 50,
that.
But
50
yeah.
years, they're zero.
The replacement rate thing, though, I mean, there's other factors into that. I mean, you know, we also live a lot longer.
There's not as many factors in Japan as there are here.
So wait.
They
you
don't
think
do 50, immigration? Really.
There's no immigration.
Right.
There's no immigration into the culture, and they don't let you. They don't want to be a melting pot.
They don't intermingle.
Right. So you have this culture that is not replacing itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, in 50 years, how are you going to know somebody who's from Japan as we know it? There won't be a military. There won't be any. They won't have enough Japanese people.
I don't know. I mean, I think those things tend to work themselves out.
Have you watched Godzilla?
Oh my gosh!
Have you
seen the documentary?
Yes.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Mothra comes. It's over, man.
But that. I mean, if you need to, you fire up the engines of replacement rate when you see Mothra fly in. That's when you start.
But they're already all dressed like little schoolgirls, and the guys are like, whatever.
The other problem they've had is that the words don't match their mouth movements. And over time,
they don't know what each other...
When you're saying, hey, do you want to get together with me?
Yeah.
They don't understand that because it doesn't match what his mouth is moving.
Right.
It's
weird.
Man. Yeah, it's weird.
So, you know, I think this is actually... I think this is part of Apple. Apple's new corporate headquarters, the giant spaceship donut in California, nearing its completion. The last of the solar panels and drought-tolerant trees were installed. Blah, blah, blah. Talks about all the things that are happening. Air conditioning system that sucks outdoor air in to remind employees of the environment outside.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, they really went. It is... the Pantheon for healthy, career-focused Silicon Valley type. However, they have this two-story yoga room. They have a 100,000-square-foot fitness and wellness center. They have medical center, dental services, blah, blah, blah. But 175 acres, not a single place for childcare.
Hmm. So is that a statement? Is there a statement?
I don't know. Is there an oversight?
No, it's not an oversight. Don't you think that's a statement? Don't you think that's
seems
a
like it.
Look, we don't we're this is not a family place. This is you're single-minded. You're going to get things done. You're going to focus on you, focus on us. This is not a place where you're coming and you're going to, you know, also have children. What?
Bunch of brats running around.
So you think it's cuz I mean, let's just say someone did this if you did this in this company, you had a giant facility like that, you didn't include
daycare. I'd have school here.
You might say someone could make the point that, hey, you know, we don't want your kids to be in daycare. We want them to be home with mom or home with dad. There's a statement to be made on that side, too, to not have daycare. I doubt that's what Google's doing. Certainly.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing Google in California is saying moms should stay at home.
But your argument, though, is that they're saying we don't want your sticky-fingered kids here at our place?
Well, no, I don't know what it is, but it is a statement of some sort. Look, you know, the whole concept behind these campuses... And it is, and it's accurate. It's real. You have medical stuff. They have dry cleaning services. So you just come in with your laundry, and they do your laundry for you. They try to take care of all of the things that you worry about, so you don't ever have to leave campus and leave work. So one of the biggest things that parents worry about are their kids. You have them in daycare. You don't want to have to worry about them. So they're right here. They're right here on campus. And you want to stop by sometime, just see them, make sure everything's okay. You know the people. Hey, we're taking that worry off your plate. When somebody is thinking about, hey, let's do their dry cleaning. Let's have 17 different restaurants so they don't have to leave, so they can work with their colleagues at lunch. Let's have, I went to Facebook. You were with me. You weren't with me. They have a woodworking shop. They have places where you can go. Yeah, you can go and woodwork and learn how to, you know, woodwork and create there.
I can't tell you how many afternoons I just want to put a piece of stick on there and run the lathe on something.
But what I'm saying is they're that down into the weeds of detail of, we want you to be able to do whatever it is you want. We want you to stay here. Mm-hmm. So what are you saying when you have everything here because we want you to stay here? Oh, your kids have to go someplace else. For instance, you want to work late? You have to go pick your kids up from daycare. I got to leave. Well, not if daycare is right here. I don't have to leave. Sucks worry about the traffic. You know what? I'm going to be a little late.
It sucks you into work more.
I mean, sucks you into work.
There is a capitalist motivation to these services.
And please, that's the point.
And that's great.
Yes, it is. It's great.
I have no problem with that. I mean, it makes the lives easier for the employee and it helps their work.
So now, what is the statement that's being made? You don't get married and have kids.
Yeah, I mean, I could be saying, look, it's up to you. I mean, I don't have no problem with a company also saying, by the way, look, take care of your own freaking kids. We're not a daycare. We're a workplace.
I'm not judging. I am not judging them. I'm saying that they should. I'm just wondering, with a company that has thought through this much to be able to keep you on campus, why wouldn't
and
you
they just
do that?
And Apple just spent, I mean, $5 billion.
Right.
We've got, like you reported, there's the drought-resistant trees were put in.
Right. They've thought about everything.
Yes.
We want to make sure that people are thinking about the environment outside. So
they don't have a changing table for a baby.
Pulling that air back in. They've thought this through.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you do that?
It does seem strange.
You couldn't fit it into 2.7 million square feet. It's just
I agree with you on that. I mean, I don't want to get into conspiracies. Right? For instance, Last Man Standing. Here's what I said on the TV show 2 or 3 days ago, and we went through a bunch of articles. The guys at the table went through a bunch of articles, and they all said it wasn't true. It shows up on Snopes as the reason. So here's the reason that I didn't realize until 2 days ago. It's all contractual, and it's always about the money. So here's what happened. Last Man Standing is a very expensive show to produce. It looks good, got a good cast, and he's making a lot of money, okay? Well-written. It's smart. It's a good quality show. It's on Friday nights. That is not where you put the big show. Now, it is number two in ratings, but it is also not the night, okay? Friday nights is not the night. It is a low watched night for television across the board. It's the difference between prime time and daytime. So they have this deal. 20th Century Fox is the producer of The Last Man Standing. They had it in the contract that 20th Century Fox would pay for all of the production up until the 8th year. Well, this is the contract that begins to get into the 8th year. After 100 episodes are made, that's the tipping point. When you have 100 episodes in the can, then it can go into syndication. If they have 136 episodes now in the can, so they're fine for syndication. So 20th Century Fox, they paid for it because they wanted it to be a hit. They wanted people to know about it. Then they wanted to take that, and they would make the money on syndication. ABC wanted the show for free. 20th Century Fox, you pay for the show. We'll pay you a fee for the show, but we're not going to produce it. You keep those rights. We'll get the advertising rights first run. That was the deal. 8th year, they're negotiating. ABC looks at it and says, it's way off the charts for the budget on a Friday night. We're going to be changing our Friday night to not include comedies. Well, it's the number two show on the network. Should we move it? Well, if we move it, we have a chance of destroying the audience because they're used to it on Friday night. So usually audiences don't follow. It's a real cost in advertising and everything else. Plus, we're going to have to pay for the show. Plus, is anybody here around the table? Are you guys fans of the show? No. there's nobody that fought for the show.
Right. I think that's a big point. And when you want to talk about the conservative politics of it, did that influence it? I think there it probably does.
Yeah, but it wasn't canceled because of politics.
It could have been, like, if it was a liberal show, it would have been saved.
If it was the abortions are fun show,
yes,
it would have been saved because it would have had advocates at the table.
Right.
But I don't think that anybody at the table said, I can't stand that show because of its politics. What they did is they said, eighth year, we're not going to get the reruns. It's going to cost us a lot of money. We have to refocus it and re-advertise everything because we're going to have to move. That's risky. There's a lot of money involved in this, or do you want to just start fresh because it's getting long in the tooth? It's, you know, we're approaching its eighth year. What do you want to do? There were no advocates for the show at the table, and they said, move on. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, is that what Snope said?
I would say largely, yeah. I mean, I think you kept saying season eight. It would be going to season seven.
But this is the contract that starts season eight.
Right. After season five, if a show isn't a blockbuster like The Big Bang Theory or The Walking Dead, every additional season becomes harder and harder to procure, even if the ratings are pretty good on the whole. The reason is simple. Actors, writers, technicians, and other people who stayed with the show for its full run begin to earn pay bumps, usually seeing solid raises in season six and seven especially. Then it goes on to talk about... it caught the show in a weird catch-22. Last Man Standing was successful, but not successful enough. It was doing well enough to justify better pay for the cast especially, but it wasn't doing well enough for the studio to demand more money from the network. There's one big reason this might be the case. Since ABC doesn't own the show, it doesn't get any of the show's ancillary revenues, as you pointed out, from streaming revenues and syndication and cable reruns to international broadcasts. All of these go to the studio, Fox. ABC pretty much just collects ad revenue at this point. Thus, ABC has no incentive to keep making more episodes of the show from a financial perspective, where Fox has huge incentive to do so. It's easy to see how that situation could have grown unsustainable, which is why they think Fox is, or potentially at least another network, but maybe even Fox or a Fox property is going to wind up just airing the show anyway, because the show does well. It has an audience. They're not saying it's not successful. They're just saying, you know, it's kind of like the team that gets too... expensive, and then you have to break it up. Ask the Dallas Mavericks about this after their 2011 championship. Mm-hmm. I like how you're agreeing with that as if you have some idea what it is. but it's true in that, and by the way, look at what happened to the Dallas Mavs, as you can point out here after the 2011 season, mm-hmm. Glenn. You want to chime in with detail on that? Or?
Yeah, they went right where they belong.
Where they completely
fell apart.
Yeah, well, eventually that did happen.
Right.
And looking back, that
they
maybe
had won stuff.
Do you break up a successful part of your franchise like that?
So, Glenn, earlier you were talking about Friday night being the death knell.
No, not the death knell. It's,
I know where you're going, and I hate you.
It's not the death knell. It's just where you dump all your garbage.
Okay, because I was
oh, my gosh, that reminds me. Wonderful World of Stu is on tonight.
I hate both of you.
Okay.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Okay, so this is weird. So we're just having an argument with Jeffy on this. Amber Tamblyn, who is, I don't know if she's married or she is a partner of David Cross, but they had a baby. Yeah, she is married, husband, comedian David Cross, sampled some of her breast milk. He loved it,
so what?
Tamblyn said. At first he was like, I'm not sure about this. This is an honorary thing that husbands have to do, drink their wives' breast milk. I read that.
No.
Right.
No.
They're saying that's not uncommon.
I don't believe that. That's sick.
I don't know. Never tried it. Never wanted to. Never have.
Never really?
No.
Wow.
No, thank you.
And you did. You just took a big slug before you put it in the fridge?
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, we could, we have several things, very little time. We have several things we could talk about. We could talk about the breast milk thing, which I just find creepy. But doctors say it's not as weird as I think it is, but I think it's really weird. We could talk about how much I hate Stu because he's going to end up being the richest guy on the show.
I would love to talk about
that. It's not accurate.
He's like... You're a numbers guy. You're a spreadsheet guy. So you pay attention to everything. We put our money in our 401k, and then we're like, I don't know.
Stu's like, I don't know. The last time I looked at the numbers, I'm not sure when I invested in that yet.
Yeah.
Shut up.
He bought Bitcoin at what? $1? How much was Bitcoin?
I started buying it around probably like $600.
$600.
But then it went down, and I was. But this is no one talks about those moments. Yeah. I wasn't
well, because
bragging
you
to
left
anyone.
It in. You right. got it at $600. It's like, now at $1,900 a Bitcoin.
$1,950 as of today.
Okay, shut up. Are you greedy?
Yep. At some point, you've earned enough money.
You've earned enough money in Bitcoin.
Yeah, no, of course I don't. I just enjoy watching it, so I didn't put like any actual money in it. You know, I wish I had. I put money in it, but not.
But
like,
at least there's $600. Yeah. Let's say you just put $600 in it.
Right.
Have you thought about taking now the $600 out?
Yeah, I'm getting to that point. I will say I'm hitting that level of maybe I should take a little of this off the table because it's gone up so far. I mean, you look at the charts of it. It's incredible. And a lot of this has to do with Chinese buying.
China.
I mean, it really does look. You look at it from a year ago, it is up in the past year, $1,425. So if you bought it a year ago today. It has risen. It went from about $444 up to $1,956 at the moment. I say.
So
this.
Do you have? I have Zapo or XAPO. How do you say that? Zapo. It's the bank that I use.
The Coinbase, the Bitcoin bank. I use Coinbase, which is a U.S.-based company.
So yeah, mine's offshore. I don't trust. Mine's I think buried inside of a mountain in Switzerland someplace.
Mine's off planet.
That's it smart.
That's
smart. And when we get electricity there to be able to transmit.
I don't even have one.
That's how safe you are. But I just got something back that said because of the volume now of Bitcoin that you have to pay more if you want faster transactions.
Yeah, just delayed transactions. Yeah, that's happening across.
It's starting to be traded so fast and used so much that now if you're like in a coffee shop, you need that transaction to happen fast. So they don't know how to prioritize.
And you know what's interesting is that people wait to this point to start buying stuff. Instead of at $300 when it was incredibly affordable, they'll go, wow, that's really going up. Now I'm going to pay $2,000 per coin for it. And then
who knows?
You're really running a risk because it may go the other way very fast.
This could be zero
very
tomorrow.
Quickly. Yeah.
It could literally be zero.
It could be
this
double.
This is the kind
but
of
they
thing.
They do the same thing with gold.
This is the kind of thing that if you had $600, you buy a fraction of a coin. I don't even know if you can do that. I'm sure you can.
Oh, yeah.
But you just buy. If you had $200, go to find a Bitcoin bank and put your money, $200, in there, and then just leave it alone. And if it takes off, your $200, if this really is the money of the future, the $200 will be worth a fortune. A fortune.
It also could be worth $0.
That's why the money that I have in there is a joke because I said I have a very low risk tolerance. I work hard for my money. I don't want my money going away. And so they're like, you know, when they put me on the, you know, whenever you talk to somebody, you know, your 401k specialist or your, you know, your retirement broker or whatever, and they say, well, what's your risk tolerance? I am at negative one. Okay. If there's a chance of losing it, no. I'll bury it in my backyard.
And they always tell you, just risk what won't kill you.
Yeah, just
you
risk.
Know, just risk what you can and comfortably do. If you, so like, if you can't afford to lose that kind of money, you don't risk it.
So I have like $5 in Bitcoin, but it has gone up so much. It's crazy. It's worth if you could just say, what money am I going to go spend on, you know,
a weekend out,
I'm going to have $500 and it's going to be a crazy weekend, whatever. Put that in Bitcoin. Don't do that on the weekend and just put that away.
One of the things I think that would appeal to the audience when you're talking about this is there is a limited amount of Bitcoins that can ever be produced. So think about that in the context of the currency of the United States of America, for example.
Yes.
Where they can print money whenever they want. One of the things I like about it and is appealing about it to me is I think the number is like 21 million Bitcoins will ever be produced. And all that will happen is they will go up or down in value, right? That number will stay forever.
You'll just start fracturing them.
Yeah. Now, they're not even out yet. They're still in the middle of producing these things. And it's too complicated to get into the process of it. But the bottom line is I like that because it gives you a sense. It's a way of going around the financial system nonsense that we always talk about.
It's really truly this. Imagine if there was a neighborhood where you're buying the first house in this real, what's promising to be a really posh neighborhood. But there's a couple of neighborhoods around, and this one is completely different. This one is groundbreaking. It's buying a house in an orange field in 1955 in Anaheim, California. You either know I've got real property that's going to be worth a fortune, or I'm going to be laughed at forever. But once that property is sold, there's only a finite amount of property. Once all those houses are sold in that complex, then there's no less demand for it. It's just that they're all owned. So they have to start splitting everything up. And those people in the housing complexes are saying, well, you want to buy a fraction of this, a fraction of this. It just makes the housing prices go through the roof because you can't go out and find another house. It's this property, and that's it. That's really what this is. Right now, all the houses haven't been built, and you don't know if this is the winner yet. But if this is the winner, once all the Bitcoins are out, it's going to be off the charts huge. You invest now, you know, I don't even know how many times it would have to go up, but you could literally be at the ground floor of AT&T or Ford or something like that that changed the world.
And how many times have we seen this? Because I always feel this way, which is I came in late. Everyone else knows about it.
Always.
There's no point, right?
Always.
I always think that way. And I thought that way.
Google and Apple for me.
Amazon, Apple, Google, yeah. All those things that were huge already. And we're like, well, they can't get any bigger than this. Everyone knows it's all priced in. I'm not going to bother. And then it winds up going up. Again, these things fall apart all the time, and I would say Bitcoin is way more susceptible to something like this.
Yeah.
Because
this
a country could ban it, right? A country could ban it. However, on the other side, it's not at all impossible that, let's say, a Greece in their worst moment, if their currency collapsed, that they would actually move into a situation where this became their currency.
Once that happens... That's why some people are starting to talk about Bitcoin or a Bitcoin-like as being the emergency escape hatch for these countries, that they'll just take whatever they have left and put it all in Bitcoin and say, that's our national currency. And if that happens, and China just opened it up in China for everybody, if you want to buy Bitcoin, well, China doesn't do that. China wants everybody on the yuan. Why are they opening up for Bitcoin? They're opening up for Bitcoin, and that's why you're seeing this spike. All of a sudden, all these Chinese, you know, what is it, 14 trillion people all of a sudden pouring in to this.
Anybody investing in the movie Alien Covenant this weekend?
No, is it supposed to be good?
I doubt it. I mean, this far down the line,
I don't know.
They're doing
is.
Some of the really good reboots. Has anybody seen
Sometimes.
Guardians of the Galaxy besides me?
Yeah, I saw it. I didn't really like it that much. I thought it was a mess.
Now to review,
A mess.
It was a mess.
You said you thought it might be the perfect movie.
Oh my gosh, you thought it was the perfect movie?
Yeah, I did. I thought it was. I watched it the whole time. I thought it had great character development.
Wow.
I thought it had great character development.
Well, they developed the characters in the first one. And then this plot was just a mess.
I didn't think so.
Really?
Yeah, I really liked it.
There were some funny moments.
I thought it was funnier than the last one.
Oh, not at all. Really?
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
Now, I may have to go back and watch the first one. I haven't seen it since it came out. So
yeah.
I might have to go back and watch the first one. But I really, and maybe it's because I had really low expectations.
And that's my problem. I had really high ones because I loved the first one so much.
Yeah, see? I had low expectations going in because sequels are never good. I had high hopes for this. But I didn't. I went to see it before all the reviews were out and everybody else.
So if you haven't seen it and you have high expectations, don't go see it.
No, I stand by. I thought it was a great movie. Anybody on the floor see it?
No.
What'd you think?
Russ, you saw it?
I actually checked my watch.
Oh,
did you really?
See?
But at the end, I liked it.
So he said at the end he liked it, but he checked his watch.
In the middle.
Yeah. We're done.
Wow, I did not. I was
surprised at the length of it, I have to say. Now, I did not see it
yet. How long is it? 18 hours? 18 and a half? It's like Bees, right? From
a five-part series.
2 hours and 13 minutes, I believe, which is pretty long.
I did not check my watch. My whole family went. We went as a pack and didn't. We loved it.
See, I've seen the first one probably five times, and I love it every time.
Saw it once. It's
almost, to me, that's almost a go-to movie like Princess Bride.
I agree with you.
Expectations were too high.
Every character in it, I loved.
I love him, too.
But I think Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
I think Chris Pratt is
brilliant.
Is brilliant. I think
so
he's
likeable.
The Jimmy Stewart or Tom Hanks of this generation.
Yeah, I think so too.
He's so likable. He's so funny. I thought all of the characters
and they're all
were
good
in it.
I thought Groot was better
than Groot was last time. I love Baby Groot.
I will say I like Chris Pratt too. Until recently, obviously, what he did I thought was despicable.
What did he do?
What?
What do you mean? What did he do?
Chris Pratt?
Yeah. What did he do?
He posted a video about Guardians of the Galaxy in which he said he pointed to the subtitles and said, "Hey, why are you reading the subtitles when I'm right here and you can see me and you could hear me? You could just listen to me say it. Why are you looking at these subtitles?"
Oh, I see. Oh, my
gosh. And you know who was pissed off about that?
Well, the deaf and the blind.
Deaf people.
And what about the blind people who said, "You can see me," because they couldn't. So,
they couldn't. That's right,
right. Right.
So he got lots of complaints, and he posted a video in sign language.
Unless
to make
you had
feel
like
okay
a Braille computer, then you could maybe.
I mean, Chris
Pratt is one of the nicest guys.
That's a real
ever.
Story, by
it's
the way.
So
that's
so ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Yeah,
and
that's
he actually
people,
apologized.
That's
for
just
that,
people
way,
wanting to pull him down.
Yeah.
I don't know
stupid.
If he's real religious or anything, but did you
remember?
He is. Yeah,
he is
so.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him. In a, some guy was just being a jerk as he was getting into a car. Did you see this? And the guy was wearing a cross around his neck. And he didn't say anything to him, except as he was getting in the car, he looks at him. And the guy's just screaming something. And he's like, "Hey, man, you might want to reconsider the necklace. I don't think you understand it." Or something like that. It was
wow.
really...
And that's he powerful.
Said it, yeah, he didn't say it mean or anything else. He just was like, "Dude, I mean, this isn't the way he would act.
Why are you representing the cross like that?"
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was great. Because it was an execution tool. That's not Jesus. This guy is Bill. Okay?
Oh, okay. That's a straight stance.
<Okay. laughs>
Program.
This is really such an agonizing article from CNN. Donald Trump just staked his presidency on four words. A joint news conference with Colombian President Thursday, President Donald Trump was asked a very simple question. Had he urged then FBI Director James Comey to slow or stop an FBI investigation into deposed National Security Advisor Michael Flynn? "No, no. Next question," Trump responded. It was over in a flash. But in those four words, Trump staked the viability of his presidency.
Did he?
I want you to
How
listen.
How many times do
I
they say that
to,
about Obama?
I want you to listen zero. Carefully. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I mean, you want to talk about staking a president's viability.
Yeah.
There it is. And they didn't have a problem with that.
Can I give you one more on how far we've moved real quick before the end?
Yeah.
14 years ago, Dennis Kucinich was running for president. Remember him?
Oh, my gosh.
Remember how crazy he was?
Yeah.
Remember how nuts he was just even for Democrats?
Yes.
Crazy liberal.
Yeah.
His platform from 14 years ago. "I will combine this with the creation of a truly universal single-payer healthcare system, universal free preschool, free college tuition at state colleges and universities, a public jobs program to restore our infrastructure, and withdrawal from NAFTA and the WTO in favor for bilateral trade pacts that protect workers' rights here and abroad. I will make it a top priority to restore the federal minimum wage to its 1968 adjusted value. I also support legislation introduced by John Conyers to deny federal funds to police departments who practice racial profiling." That's Bernie Sanders almost won the presidency. With that exact platform,
and I will tell you, the GOP is proposing
a lot of it.
A lot of it. Amazing.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.